The first drink of the day! 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 Welcome to the Football Podcast. This is the final show of 2010. It's our end of year awards special, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a lovely tuxedo you're wearing for this, Sam.
Yeah,
I know.
You look really good. Bloody sharp.
And your ball gown is just
thank you very much.
I know.
You notice the shoes? New.
Gucci, I believe.
We've got 10 different award categories here. Those of you who've been on the podcast website will have seen these and hopefully voted. Thanks to the hundreds upon hundreds of you that did, we were expecting about 20 people to vote. We've actually got quite a few votes, so these awards do actually mean something to us. So we'll kick off. Jim, why don't you go first?
Okay. First one to hand, the Stan Flashman Award for Brainless Sacking of the Year. So it's inspired by the Barnet chairman, who I remember reading about in Barry Fry's biography. Actually sacked Barry Fry on 8 occasions whilst he was in charge at Underhill.
That's good work.
Yeah. And so basically it's just us celebrating and acknowledging the most stupid dismissal of the year. I'll give you the nominees. Sam Allardyce, recent by Blackburn. Chris Hughton, even more recent by Newcastle. Alan Pardew, sacked by Southampton. Ray Wilkins, sacked by Chelsea.
Right.
Who did you vote for? Who would you have gone for? Mike, go on.
I voted for the obvious, Chris Hughton. I think Pardew, there were a lot of dressing room fallouts and a lot of alleged occurrences that we won't go into for fear of libel. Ray Wilkins, he's a coach, isn't he? I mean, there's something funny going on there, but it's not really a big thing. Allardyce, as stupid as it was to sack him, how can you like Sam Allardyce? Chris Hughton.
Worst thing about Ray Wilkins being sacked, he's now back on TV.
I think if you look at the impact that each of those sackings, the one that's probably going to be felt the most is Ray Wilkins.
Yeah.
Because Chelsea have just gone completely off the rails since he's gone.
It's such a shame.
I don't know whether that's just a coincidence or what. It's such a shame. How genuine from a Man United fan. But I voted for Hughton. Decent bloke, nice guy. Did a really good job under trying circumstances in Newcastle when they were trying to find anyone to replace him, but they kept him there. He did the business, and I think they were up to like 11th in the league, and
they were doing well.
It'd be interesting.
So the fact that they beat Sunderland as well, so convincing.
Oh, it was 5-0? 5-0.
5-1, I think
5-1,
okay, so the winner is the envelopes have been prepared lovingly by Simon. The winner is Chris Hughton, sacked by Newcastle United with a whopping 68.5% of the vote.
That's massive.
That is big. That is massive. Big news. Big news. So yeah, I'm happy with that one.
First winner of the pubbies is Chris Hughton.
We'll put that there. We'll take a photo of all the winners.
Yeah. Yeah,
not them actually in person, obviously. Because I was going to say, he's got nothing to do.
Chris can't be here to collect his award.
Why? What's he doing? He's probably playing a Football Manager at home, which I got for Christmas, by the way. I love Football Manager.
Is any good?
Yeah, I always buy it in like November when it comes out, but I deliberately didn't because I wanted something to do over Christmas, so I've got it. So I'm commuting in, playing it in the office a little bit. Chris, you don't look listening. Right, what's the next one?
The next one is the Bosco Balaban Award for the worst signing of the year. Now, this award is named after the Croatian striker who's generally regarded as one of the worst Premier League signings of all time. 5.8 million. That was back at the time when 5.8 million was a lot of money. He joined Aston Villa and he did virtually nothing. So this award pays tribute to those players whose transfers to another club in 2010 have proved to be something of a flop.
I don't remember these.
Okay.
I've done the vote, but I don't remember these nominees.
Well, the nominees were done a while ago. Well, at least one of these is starting to come good. So the nominees are Mario Balotelli, scored 3 the other day, but complete nut job, so he's in there. Stephen Ireland of Aston Villa. Does anyone even know where he is? He's at Aston Villa, and he's not even getting inside.
He didn't want to go there, did he?
I think he did. He just wanted to get out of Man City after they decided he wasn't going to play.
Yeah.
Christian Poulsen at Liverpool. It's a shame that these awards weren't voted on as of today, because I think he might have got a few more after yesterday, and Ramirez of Chelsea.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a nice spread of...
Ramirez, surely he's one for the future a bit more, though, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he came in as a holding midfield player, and he's not really adapted to the Premier League yet, but it is quite early for him,
yeah.
And he isn't an established star, so...
Mike, who would your flop of the season be out of Ramirez?
I voted for Ramirez, although I think Poulsen's been a lot worse. I think Balotelli's a bit harsh.
Well, he's started to come good now, isn't he? Now,
Stephen Ireland's quite annoying. I think Ramirez, just for the money paid, he's just been shocking.
Balotelli's brilliant, though. See what he said, the most recent thing he said, when he won an award. It's like the Balloon d'Or, but the juniors.
He didn't know who Jack Wilshere was, did he?
He said, yeah, I've never heard of Jack Wilshere, who came second. And he said, I'm better than everyone on this list, apart from, what's that guy who plays for Barcelona? Little Argentinian, not very good. Messi, that's it. He said, I'm better than all of those players apart from Messi.
That's very magnanimous of him to sort of suggest that Messi was better players. But yeah, so they're the nominees. Balotelli of Man City, Ireland of Villa, Poulsen of Liverpool, Ramirez of Chelsea. And the winner is... Stephen Ireland of Aston Villa.
Oh.
With 37.01% of the vote.
Interesting.
A bit closer than...
So, congratulations, Stephen Ireland. That's...
Congratulations, Stephen. You're shit.
Yeah, so, well done to him.
Where could he go, though?
Where could he go?
I reckon he's just got to stick out. Who knows could be out soon anyway.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And he'll probably get a look in.
There's going to be a few managers move, I think, in the next couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah.
Mr. Hodgson is on the brink as well, so...
Poor boy.
Yeah. Right, okay, next award, Mr. Coxon.
It's the David Fairclough Award for the Best Footballing Ginger of the Year.
Yes.
So I'd like to David Fairclough, Gordon Strachan and Carlos Valderrama of Days Gone York. So this is the award for the Best Strawberry Blonde Player. The nominees are Perry Groves for adding value and entertainment to Five Live, John Hartson for bouncing back from cancer, Steve McLaren for, well, half a year of Sterling managerial.
Oh, they hate him now, don't they?
They hate him at Wolfsburg, yeah. And Paul Scholes for his superb displays in the Manchester United midfield.
It's a strong category, this.
And the man who got my vote was obviously Scholesy.
No, surely not.
Brilliant.
Okay, what about you, Jim?
I think I voted Hartson. Quite like him.
Yeah, I voted for Hartson. I mean, you know, to sort of come back from cancer like he has. He was in with a shout at the Wales job as well. I think Gary Speed just nipped in and got it ahead of him. But it's good to see a big figure like that in football come back. And he's not a bad pundit either on the telly, to be fair. He's been quite good value.
Yeah. Well, the winner is...
Yes.
John Hartson for bouncing back from cancer.
I'm happy with him so far.
Richly deserved, I'd say.
I'm not so happy with Stephen Ireland, but the other two, I'm well happy with.
Judging by the percentage on Stephen Ireland, I think that was quite an even one. I think Christian Poulsen was second. He was only like 1% behind, so he was very close. But yeah, Hartson, I'm all over that. I think that's the right decision, I think. All right, moving on to our next category, and we return to Mr. Staples.
Okay, the Louise Redknapp Award for Wag of the Year. I agree with that, because Louise Redknapp is the ultimate wag.
It's got to be Kathy Ferguson, surely.
Narrowly missed the shortlist, I believe.
Behind every great man is a great woman, behind every top filler is a wag. There are some good ones, there are some bad ones. We picked our top four wags of English-based players in 2010 to get the Wag of the Year. I'd be interested in a bad category, worst wags. Is it Bentner's girlfriend? I think it's Bentner's girlfriend. It just keeps getting in ridiculous tracksuits. No, it's not. He used to play for Liverpool, up front. No. Voronin, look up his missus.
Andre Voronin.
She's brilliant.
All right.
Not in a good way.
Okay. All right,
nominees. Christian Bleakley, Abby Clancy, Danielle Lloyd, and Sylvie van der Vaart.
Yeah.
Stupid surname.
I'm also disappointed that Avram Grant's missus isn't on there. For her.
Sending him to
a brothel. Allegedly. I can't remember who I voted for in this category, to be honest.
Good. Simon.
I researched this category vigorously for several hours.
Vigorously, I
And Sylvie van der Vaart, without a doubt. Just Google her. She's absolutely gorgeous.
She's bounced back from...
she's bounced back
as well, yeah.
She has, yeah. And all the best to her, but yeah.
She's not ginger as well, is she? She's not on two categories.
Can we just say we've forgotten to mention this category is sponsored by Kleenex?
I voted for Abby Clancy because she looked amazing during the World Cup on James Corden's show. The only good thing about James Corden's show. Can I have a drum roll, please? So that's why I did a drum roll for everyone else, and I didn't get a bloody drum roll myself. Alright, there you go. Sylvie van der Vaart with 44.6% of the votes.
That's quite a convincing victory, I would say.
Yeah. I'll be looking that up. Who's next? Simon or Mike?
I think the next category here, living up to my Diva Fever reputation.
That's why you've got the envelope.
Should be the David Ginola Award for Good Looking Bugger of the Year.
Yeah.
All these guys are worth it, as David might say himself. And in a completely heterosexual or even metrosexual way, we can appreciate their beauty. The nominees are David Beckham, Jose Mourinho, Jamie Redknapp, and another ITV Breakfast TV presenter, Ben Shepherd.
Yeah.
I personally voted for David in this simply because of his United connection.
Yeah.
And his excellent dimples.
Okay.
Jamie Redknapp, he looks bloody good in a grey suit. Man.
Have you gone for Redknapp?
I've said it many times. I think I went for Redknapp, yeah.
I'll vote for Jose.
Alright, so we've got across the board. No one's
like the elder man.
As the elder statesman on the podcast.
You're like the elder man, do you, Simon?
Ben Shepherd.
There's no direction I can take it.
You might as well put Andrew Castle in there.
Or Roy Castle.
Roy Castle. And the winner is Roy Castle. Jose Mourinho.
Jose.
43.66%.
That's another big win.
Housewives favourite.
Yeah.
Obviously, he really is the special one.
Housewives favourite.
And so are the people that voted for him.
There you go. Right, the next topic is the Greg Louganis Award for the Worst Diver of the Year. This is named after the American gold medal winning diver who once concussed himself by smashing his head on the 10 metre board during the 1988 Olympics, then went on to win the gold medal, so it wasn't that bad. But this award pays homage to the year's most shamefully gifted exponents of the art of hitting the floor during the game of association football. And the nominees are...
Here's for the nominees.
Chris Eagles of Burnley. Nani of Manchester United.
No.
Cristiano Ronaldo of Real Madrid.
No.
And Ashley Young of Aston Villa. Who would you have gone for?
Ashley Young, and I would go for him as well.
I went for Ashley Young from a completely neutral non-Manchester United supporting perspective.
I also vote for Ashley Young. So let's see who the winner is.
Best be Ashley Young.
I've just realised three of them have a United connection.
Nani of Manchester United is our diver of the year.
Quite
richly deserved, I would say, as well. 37.25% of the public vote, as they say.
And that proves that we have actually had some people voting.
Yeah, seen as none of the ones we nominated.
All our votes, it's like two decimal points we're doing this to, so we've had more than 100 votes. Right, the next category, I believe, is yours, Mr. Coxon.
Mine is the William Gallas Award for football's biggest crybaby of the year.
Yep.
Obviously does what it says on the tin.
Yeah.
Nominations are Landon Donovan for his tearful World Cup press conference.
Yeah,
which I don't remember.
Oh, he scored the winning goal when he was in the press conference.
Yeah,
he was like, I'm so happy.
Oh, well,
he was like, oh, he's terrible.
You would be too if you worked in Liverpool anymore.
There you go.
Sir Alex Ferguson for his continued interview ban with the BBC.
Yeah. What is that all about, seriously?
Wayne Rooney for holding Manchester United to ransom.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Carlos Tevez just missed the deadline, I think.
I think Tevez just about did his U-turn in time.
Yeah.
That he wasn't... Yeah, he just missed the cut, I think.
And John Terry for his World Cup outburst. And he was the man that I voted for.
Yeah, so if I could have voted twice, I would have voted for Terry twice.
I do think Rooney deserves to be in there with a shout, though.
It's going to be a close one, this, I think.
And the winner... Wayne Rooney for his contract negotiation techniques with 36.94% of the vote.
That is the tightest vote so far.
Yeah. It is.
Looking at the stats in front of me.
What we'll do on the website later this week or maybe next week, I'll put up the percentages for all the nominees. So
can we have pie charts?
I don't know if I do pie charts. I'll see what I can do.
Amateur.
I'll see what I can do. There's going to be no Venn diagrams.
You mean amateur?
No, I mean amateur.
You're so
Northern. The correct pronunciation of
right.
the word.
Okay. The next one is the Football Podcast Lifetime Achievement Award.
Now,
most of the other awards are a bit of a piss take. This one is ever so slightly serious in that, you know, people are actually being asked who actually deserves an award for Lifetime Achievement in football. You've got four legends of the game, all from slightly different fields, but only one can win our Lifetime Achievement Award. Each have contributed hugely to the game in their respective fields, coaching, playing, commentating and reporting. But only one will be our inaugural, some say debut, some say premiere, Lifetime Achievement Award winner.
Can we create some sort of podcast Hall of Fame?
We can, but the Football Ramble already do that.
Yeah, but it'll be ours. And we'll get them trophies from Simpsons. That'll be great.
On the way home from a drunken night in London, go to Timpsons, get a trophy.
Yeah, they'll be completely inconsistent once they get.
I'd rather get trophies from Greggs.
Greggs the Bakers?
Yeah.
They are well known for their steak bakes and also medallions.
They are trophy-like.
Chris Ewan, you've not got a job, but you've got a steak bake. Sit down, eat it, and don't burn your fingers.
There you go. Contents may be hot. The nominees for our Lifetime Achievement Award are Sir Bobby Charlton, Dario Grady, Stuart Hall, and John Motson.
Can we just clarify that that's Stuart Hall, the commentator, and not
Hall,
Stuart Hall, the
Stuart
podcaster.
Hall is in former host of It's a Knockout and The Best Thing About Sports Report.
And not Stuart Hall, the not worst Stuart thing Hall. About the football podcast.
Yeah.
Who, apart from Jim Staples, Dan Ferdinand.
Whose absence is noted. So, who would you have gone for there?
I went for Sir Bobby.
Yep.
No, simply Hell, because...
Hell yeah. Surprise, yes.
Although Dario Grady does deserve a shout.
Yeah. You, Jim?
I voted for Dario Grady, but on Football Manager the other day, Dario Grady doubted my ability to take Gillingham into League One.
To be fair, Dario Grady's the only one with a 90s dance act named after him.
That's
Dario
very,
G.
Very true.
It's very true.
I was torn with this. I wanted to vote for Stuart Hall because he plays a legend. But from a football point of view, Grady got my vote. So let's see who the winner of this one is. Drum roll,
please.
So did
we all go Grady?
I went Bobby Charlton.
Okay.
Is with 33.33% of the vote.
What was the lowest one yet?
Dario Grady.
Yes.
Dario Grady. I think if Dario is listening, which let's face it, he almost certainly is, we should go up to Crewe. I was in Crewe only the other day. We should go up, present him with his award.
Can't you go and look at his door? We've got family next door, sure.
I reckon he's listening. He's listening in a shed. Yeah. When I think of Dario Grady, I think of him in a shed.
I think he's probably listening to ham radio.
Yeah. When I think of Neil Warnock, I think of him on a tractor.
I can see him wearing gardening gloves and maybe a straw hat doing these borders.
Yeah. Alex Ferguson, I think of just sitting in like a very regal house.
Wearing a cardigan.
Wearing a cardigan. One of the Nevilles kneeled in front of him as a footstool.
Tracy Neville.
Yeah. Harry Redknapp, I imagine, in a pub playing darts. Yeah. This could go on. I don't even know why I'm talking about it.
Yeah. Right. Our penultimate category of the year is over to Mr. Staples.
Yeah. Okay. The Brian Moore Memorial Award for the best commentator of the year.
Okay.
Named after the best commentator in the world and Gillingham fan, Brian Moore.
Yeah.
Nominees, Simon Brotherton, BBC.
Yeah.
Ian Darkey, Sky Sports.
Yeah. Ian Dark, not Ian Dark.
We've had this before, it's Ian Darkey. There's an E on it. John Murray, BBC Radio 5 Live. Rob Palmer, Sky Sports. A late entry, which I'm just pinning out. A stupid blonde woman that reads emails on the Football League show on BBC.
Rob Palmer, I have to say, used to do the old Manchester United video calendar that they used to release every 3 or 4 months with the review for the last few months. But I went for Ian Dark or Ian Darkey, depending on simply because whenever I listen to him commentate normally on highly suspicious internet sites showing games kicking off at 3 o'clock on a Saturday, he has spoke with Steve McManaman, who the other day, and I quote, bemoaned the fact, saying this, "Do I really have to be neutral towards Manchester United?" So Ian Dark deserves a medal.
The rest of the country don't bother, so I don't think what I'm after either.
I'd vote for John Murray. He's brilliant. He's my favourite commentator on 5 Live. Brotherton's very, very good. But I think Murray's the best for me.
I voted for Ian Darkey because I like his name.
Because you can't pronounce it.
No, I do like him from his boxing.
He's a great boxing commentator as well, yeah.
From his boxing commentator, I think he's transgressed to football. I think he started off at football. I just really like him.
Yeah.
I like his voice. It makes me soothed. And I just like it.
Do you listen to it in the bath? Half filled with Radox bubbles?
No. Going back to the stupid blonde woman as well, lots of people like to email
They send in spoof emails to me, and she reads them every bloody
day. If you want a bit of entertainment on a Saturday night, get hammered, responsibly, obviously, and just send an email from a random club. Say you're a Cheltenham fan or a Fulham fan or whatever, and whatever you put, they read out, because they don't get that many emails. I digress. The winner is... Mike, consistently fails to give me a drum roll.
I know.
He does it for you. He even does it for himself. Thank you.
It's poor.
John Murray, BBC Radio 5 Live, with a not-so-whopping 34%.
Good decision.
Well. He does make excellent mints as well.
Good decision.
So, at the moment...
No relation to Kay, as far as I'm aware.
We're going on to the big one. At the moment, most of them have been in the 30s, high 30s, low 40s.
Yeah.
Apart from the Chris Hughton and Newcastle second, which got 70%.
That was a landslide, yeah. That was.
Absolute landslide.
Right, so we'll move on to our final event, our main event, if you like. This is the Football Podcast Man of the Year Award. And it honours those individuals whose outstanding achievements within the game in 2010 set them apart from their peers. We consulted with some of the web's best football bloggers to get their nominations and draw up a shortlist of 10 nominees for this award, ranging from a World Cup finalist to a non-league star, from a Premier League manager to a spoof Twitter account. The nominees are Andy Carroll of Newcastle United.
Okay, so he's on there for his... Like, is this...
I nominated Andy Carroll.
Okay.
He's on there for his lovely hair. I'm really forwarding the Diva Fever lot. And as well as his goal scoring, just his all-around love of the game, his controversial nature.
He's been a good addition to the Premier League.
Yeah, I suppose so. But he's
accidentally dropping glasses in people's faces.
Yeah. He's a character, I'll give you that. What's the next one?
Asamoah Gyan.
Yes.
Of Ghana and Sunderland Football Club.
Just the dance does it for me.
The dance, yeah.
Well, surely Bello Zenden should be nominated then.
He should be shot.
Yeah.
Shot stroke nominated.
Ian Holloway.
Yes.
Standard. Yeah, has to be.
He was one of those.
Man of the Year list needs to have him in it any year as well.
Yeah, even if, like, he'd be managing Torquay and they'd finish.
He could be on gardening leave for a year.
That was one of those ones. When he made the Premiership, you're like, oh, Holloway's going to be great value in the Premiership. He's proved that right.
But he's doing the business with the team as well. I mean, you know, they're doing all right.
Good
for them
as well.
They've had more home wins this season. Or is it away wins?
Away
than
wins.
Manchester United.
Yeah, away.
The Manchester United.
Maybe, well, we've had one.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know,
there you go then.
Most teams are.
Also, he's a very good dad.
There you go.
All three of his kids deaf. And him and his wife.
Oh, actually, no, I remember they did a documentary thing. With a heart monitor and stuff.
Really, brilliant. Really.
Top man.
Yeah.
Diego Maradona.
Yes.
Had to be on the list. Steve McLaren got on the list. Bear in mind, these were nominated by other football bloggers. No, this was nominated by...
Mrs. McLaren.
By Gav Stone, who writes the Ross Beef website, he covers all the English people who are playing
abroad,
football, managing abroad.
Yeah.
So, and
he had a big impact, didn't he?
So he's...
I would have gone for Aidan McGady, personally, for a
CSK
British player abroad.
Is it CSK?
Spartak, I think.
Oh, right. Martin Palermo... of Argentina and Boca Juniors.
Famously missed three penalties in one game.
And broke the Boca Juniors scoring record this year with his 300th goal.
Yeah.
And also scored a 40-yard header as well.
Yes, oh, that was iron.
Which is on the website. It's on the website. Gerard Piqué gets the nomination from Chris Mayer for being the best defender on the planet, winning the World Cup, and being the rock behind the best football team in the world.
Nice little beard as well.
He's no Johnny Evans, though, is he? I mean, we can afford to let him go for Johnny bloody Evans.
This is true. Paul Robinson, and we're not talking about the guy from Neighbours. This is a midfielder from Whitley Bay.
Are we talking about the Leeds goalkeeper of days?
No.
Or the Bolton defender?
No. This is Paul Robinson of Whitley Bay FC.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Yeah, who he's had an incredible year. He's won so many different awards at Golden
Season.
Right,
hasn't he?
He's been brilliant. Right. Read the blog, it's great. Wesley Schneider, who was my vote for FIFA Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Not that I was given a vote by FIFA. But
strange, I got mine.
Oh, did you?
The player Chelsea need to win, sorry. Schneider,
yeah.
They desperately need him at the moment.
And the final nomination, not a real person as such, more a spoof Twitter account, the Big Sam. Sam Allardyce, the spoof Sam Allardyce Twitter account, which if you're not following it and you're on Twitter, you need to follow it. It's just sick comedy genius. So there are your 10 nominations, and now we're going to announce the winner of the 2010 Football Podcast Man of the Year. And in what was an incredible fight, in fact, we're going to do the top three in reverse order. In third place, with 14.29% of the vote, Ian Holloway of Blackpool.
Good. Glad he's in there.
In second place, with 30.12% of the vote.
It's a big game.
And was a big early leader in this vote.
That's a Jonathan Edwards. That's a big jump.
Here you go. And a big jump for the Big Sam Allardyce's Twitter account.
Yeah.
And in first place in the football podcast, Man 2010 is, with 34.36%, Paul Robinson of Whitley Bay Football Club. Congratulations,
you are the football podcast the man of the year.
That was down to various non-league websites pushing it. BBC's non-league football show promoted it. It was nominated by the great website The Real FA Cup. If you don't read that, it's really
we've talked about The Real FA Cup this year.
Well worth the read, really good site. And the guys there nominated Paul Robinson. Paul Robinson is our 2010 football podcast man of the year. There you go, and that wraps us up. Any end of year thoughts, lads?
I think it's been a wonderful year for football in many ways, apart from Chelsea winning the league, England doing shit at the World Cup, us failing to host the World Cup. So yeah, it's been a crap year.
Setback still being alive. Another downside.
I very nearly did nominate Uncle Seth, just to be controversial.
Should have done. I'd have voted for the bastard. I'm on a footballing high at the moment, Simon, I've got to say. I've had my low points this season and this year, but I'm on a footballing high. Gillingham have won 4 in a row, and I didn't really like the Premiership side this season, and I'm really enjoying watching the Premiership as well.
I think we've all got reason to be optimistic. Gillingham are winning United, top of the league.
QPR top of the league. Yeah. Arsenal aren't too far away.
Chelsea are doing crap.
It's lucky Sohar left, because we don't want to talk about Everton.
Which just goes to show, if you leave the podcast,
it's downhill from there. But that's us done for 2010. We've done 20 shows since the start of the season. This is show number 20, and we'll be back for a bit more in the new year. You can email us banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. check out the website footballpodcast.co.uk. we're on Twitter, Facebook and Audioboo as well. And just to finish, I've got a real quick list of all the people to thank for all their help in 2010. So a big thank you to Hastings United FC, Barkingside FC, Peterhead FC, Layla Carlson, Marcus Dyche, Julian Hart, David Hartrick, Doug Hossack, Ian McIntosh, Jonathan Mower, Chris Mayer, Lee Minshaw, Hayden Shaw, Gav Stone, Damon Threadgold, In Bed With Maradona, The Real FA Cup, Alex Baker, Betfair, Mirror Football, The Wharf Newspaper and The Docklands Paper. And massive thanks to Audioboo for getting us online.
And my mum.
And finally, Kay Murray for her fantastic videos, and Mike's mum.
Thanks, mum.
That's my boy. That's us all done. Thanks to you lot for listening. We'll be back in the new year. Until then, have a great new year. Drink responsibly, but heavily if you want to. And we'll see you in 2011.
Ta-ra.
Happy New Year, Paul Robinson.